All right, it's good to have you here today, and if you wouldn't mind to take the Word of God with me, turn to the book of Psalm 101, Psalm 101, please. And this series on Satan's strongholds has been a blessing to me. I trust it's been a blessing to you, and I have felt led to call this particular split session with our men on this vital topic that has become a stronghold in so many men's lives today. I'm speaking today to the men on the stronghold of pornography, the stronghold of pornography. Let's pray together, and then I'll get started here. Our Father, we love you. We ask that you'll bless this time together. I pray that you'll bless those who will be hearing this and so on, Lord. I pray that you'll touch and bless in a mighty way. May the will of God be done, and I pray that you'll speak to us and speak through me, speak to me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 101:3, the Bible teaches, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Again, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Webster defines pornography as, and I'm quoting here, writings, pictures, etc., that's intended primarily to arouse sexual desire. Now, pornography is an industry and a movement that tries to misuse the God-given desires for one man and one woman in the marriage relationship. Now, there's no doubt that it's a sin that says it's all right to look elsewhere when God says it's not all right to look elsewhere. Now, I want to give you some stats here. This is all introduction. I'll give you the outline here in just a moment. But I want you to let these stats grip your heart just to show you that this is a stronghold in many lives, men and women, but specifically men, since men's eye gate are attacked so often. These first set of stats I'm going to be giving you from a magazine that's called Unchained Magazine. It's been said that 47% of surveyed families has said that pornography is a problem in the home. Among those, 50% of Christian men, it's been said, are addicted to pornography. 20% of Christian women are struggling with pornography. 49% of those who claim to be born again believe sexual thoughts or fantasies are morally acceptable. It's also been said that 28% of those who claim to be born again believe that pornography is morally acceptable. Now, these next stats I'm going to give that I'm going to be giving you is taken from this book that we have purchased for the men who are part of this session here. It's called Pay-Per-View. It's called The Double Cost of Pornography by Dr. Jeff Amsbaugh, and this is a great book. I highly recommend it. And I'm taking these following stats from this book here. Number one, 1 out of 5 American adults has looked at pornographic sites on the internet. And out of those, 17.8% claim to be born again. According to the Maryland Coalition Against Pornography, 40 to 60% of Christian men are involved in pornography in some way or another. Pornography, now this is astounding right here. Pornography revenue is larger than all the combined professional football, baseball, and basketball revenues. That's amazing. Number four, the largest consumers of internet pornography are between the ages of 12 and 17 years old. Number five, a child's first exposure to pornography is now 11 years old. Can you imagine that? Yet the average age when men seek help is 30 to 35 years old. Now let's just think about that thought there just a moment. The average age of a child when they're first exposed to pornography is 11, yet the average age when a man finally comes for help is between 30 and 35 years of age. As you can see, that's a long time to be addicted to something and then finally come for help. Number six, this book also teaches that 50% of teenagers admit that they have visited pornographic websites. Now, this is all introduction here, but these stats are given here to simply show us all here that this stronghold of pornography is something that is real. It's not something you can downplay. It's not something that you can ignore and hope it'll go away. This filth is now found just about everywhere we go. It's a sin that is a growing concern now, even in the church house. Now, we know it shouldn't be that way, but this sin has crept into the church house. Now, what I want to do here today is I want to sound the trumpet loudly on this sin that is becoming a stronghold in men's lives, and it's destroying their lives, and in many cases, destroying their families. Now, as we think of this stronghold of pornography, there are several thoughts I want to give you. Now, they all begin with the letter A here, and I trust that this split session here with men, I trust that this will really be a blessing and a help to you as you hear this outline. This is not something that you can ignore. And right here before I get started with the outline, let me simply say this to you. I realize that there are two types of people who may be listening right now, and that is those who are struggling with this and those who are not. Let me make a statement to both. If you are struggling with this stronghold, God can deliver you and help you as you listen to this outline and then put it into practice. On the other side, if you're not dealing with this yourself, you're not struggling with it, I trust that you will listen carefully, because those who you love the most, it may be your children who still live at home, it may be a grandchild who you love dearly, but I guarantee you more than likely now that somebody that you love in your family is probably going to be confronted with this issue somewhere down the line. There's a strong possibility of that. So you need to be well aware of how you can help them if it ever comes to your attention. Now, that being the case, I hope I have your attention here today. I want to give you several things about pornography. Number one, we're going to notice its access. Number one, its access. Now, don't forget this thought, that the only access for this filth is through the eye gate. Now, understand that it's vitally important that we understand that the protection of the access point is needed. Now, keep in mind, for a man especially, that the eye gate is such a strong access point to the mind. You've got to be careful what you access and allow through the eye gate. Now, remember that this access point, the eye gate, if you will, is what got Eve in trouble in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible says that she saw the fruit that God had forbidden them to eat of, and when she saw it, she wanted it, she took it, and she gave it to Adam. This is also the access point that got Achan in trouble in Joshua chapter 7. If you remember the story, whenever they were getting ready to take over Jericho, in Joshua chapter 6, God told the nation of Israel, I'm going to give you the city, but yet you keep your hands off of everything. I've consecrated it to myself. In other words, he told them, keep your hands off the money, keep your hands off pretty much all the spoil there in that city. Yet in Joshua chapter 7, we see that one man in that camp, he stole something from God. He took something that God told him not to take. Later on in that chapter, he is found out, and he begins to give his own personal testimony. And in that testimony, he makes this statement. He said, when I saw it, he said, then I coveted it. Then I took it, and then behold, I've hid it underneath my tent. Understand that in that sin there, it all began when he allowed his access point, his eye gate, to dwell on something that looked good to him, and he allowed that to get into his mind. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist today to figure out that the access point to this pornographic material is everywhere. I'm talking about things to look at, whether it be billboards or going in I mean, just something like the local grocery store today, soft core pornography, all these kind of things, whether it be the television, whatever the case may be, the internet. Let me just give you some thoughts here. There are between 4 and 5 million pornographic websites. That's amazing. Number two, adult bookstores. Now, I want you to think about this statement. Adult bookstores now outnumber McDonald's. Now, that's astounding to me. In 1997, the pornographic industry averaged more movie titles in 2 weeks than Hollywood released in a year. In other words, in 1997, when you look at how many movies came out that was based on pornography, and then you took Hollywood's, all their movies, and put them beside it, on average, though that pornographic industry put out more movie titles in 2 weeks than Hollywood did all that year. The bottom line is, if you do not monitor your access point, I'm talking about your eye gate. If you don't monitor your reading materials, your television viewing, your internet usage, your movie viewing, if you don't monitor this in a godly way, then you will access this ungodly filth. Number one, its access is the eye gate. Number two, I want to give you its announcement. Now, you understand that a man who gives in to pornography, men are tempted, no doubt about that, to look at certain things. If you allow that to be accessed through your eye gate, you're making a clear announcement. This is number two, its announcement. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." Psalm 97, verse 10 says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." The Bible says in Mark 12, 30, and also Luke 10, 27, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Mark 12, 30, Luke chapter 10, verse 27, pretty much says the same thing. There's a common theme in these verses, and that theme is loving the Lord with everything we've got. See, the Word of God makes it clear that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our minds. The point I'm trying to make here under its announcement is that this sin of viewing pornography makes an announcement that you do not love the Lord as He has commanded you to. It's announcing that you are on your own heart's throne. It makes the announcement that you're out to please yourself more than the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you. William Cowper put it this way, "The dearest idol I have known, whatever the idol may be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." Number one, we've noticed pornography's access. That is the eye gate. Be careful what you look at. Number two, we've noticed its announcement. That is at that point when you're tempted, you're going to make an announcement clearly, whether it be to other people or especially to God, whether He is sitting on your heart's throne, whether you love Him most, or whether you're sitting on your heart's throne or you love yourself most. Then that brings me to my third point, and that is not only its access and its announcement, but number three, its addiction. Now, it's important here, men, that every one of us realize that this ungodly sin is accessed. When it's accessed, if it's accessed, it can become an addiction. There are 10% of American adults who admit to internet sexual addiction. One speaker refers to pornography as spiritual crack cocaine. Another said that the effects are similar to that of heroin. Now, there may be one listening to me now who has the thought, "Well, I'm in control. I can stop anytime I want to." Then my question is why don't you? See, this sin can become a stronghold of addiction in your life. It'll be something that you think you can't live without, and I'm sounding the trumpet, stay away from it, because if you don't stay away from it, you're going to access it, you're going to make an announcement, and before long, it's going to become an addiction. There's a section in this book that I hope many of you will get this, entitled Pay-Per-View by Jeff Amsbaugh. He goes into detail in here how looking at that stuff and dwelling on that stuff, it releases something in your brain, and it can become an addiction and an addictive sin if you're not careful. Number one, we've noticed its access. It's the eye gate. Number two, its announcement. It is dethroning God and putting yourself on your heart's throne. Number three, its addiction. If you access it, you can get addicted on it. Then number four, I want to notice its advancement. Its advancement. Now, one of the things that we all need to be aware of is how this sin of the eyes, this stronghold of pornography, can turn into an addiction. And then it keeps advancing in its devastation. In other words, somebody may be thinking today, well, I'm going to start here, but I can stop it anytime I want. Wait a minute, it can become an addiction, and if you're not careful, it'll destroy your life. But what I'm making an announcement of today is this, is that if you access that ungodly filth, it will not stop with a look. It will advance and keep advancing and keep rolling. It's like a ball rolling down the hill. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. It may start off small, but the longer it rolls, the bigger it gets, the more momentum it has, and the more damage it can do when it finally collides with something. According to Pay-Per-View, 86% of all convicted rapists say that they regularly use pornography. Now think about that. James Dobson on Focus on the Family met several years ago now with serial killer Mr. Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy actually asked him for this interview the day before he was executed on January 24th, 1989. Now Bundy, he had killed 28 females, including the 12-year-old girl whose death led to his arrest and conviction. He requested this interview with Dobson, and he said this during that interview, and I quote, "As a young boy of 12 or 13, I encountered outside the home, in local grocery and drug stores, softcore pornography. I'm no social scientist," Bundy said, "but he said, I've lived in prison for a long time now, and I've met a lot of men who are motivated to commit violence. Without exception, every one of them was deeply involved in pornography, deeply consumed by the addiction." What I'm saying to you is that this sin advances. We're noticing its advancement. Now, I realize what somebody may be thinking right now. That is extreme. You're talking about Ted Bundy. I'd never kill somebody. You're telling me that what I look at can make me a murderer? Wait a minute. Before we think that I've gone overboard with this, let us not forget another story that's found in the Word of God. It's the story of David, get it, the man after God's own heart, and Bathsheba. This is found in 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to paraphrase it, but maybe many of you ought to go back and read this story and dwell on it. I wonder, am I going overboard by saying that it leads to violence and it can lead to other things? Am I going overboard? Well, in this story, we see that David had tarried at Jerusalem during a time that he should have been in the battle. The Bible says that he tarried still at Jerusalem. You know what that word tarried means? It carries the idea that he was killing time. He was just killing time. And let me say this to you, men. Be careful when you're killing time. Now, one evening, David glanced down and he saw a beautiful woman bathing herself. He called for her. Understand, he had just given access point right here. He allowed his access gate to be bombarded, and he didn't turn away. He dwelled on it, and because of that, he called for this lady. In other words, we see that a glance turned into a gaze. You know, somebody said this also, you can glance at many things, but you can only gaze at one thing. And the fact of the matter is that this lady had his full attention at this time, He was enthralled with her beauty, and he allowed his eyes to be accessed with this sight. He called for this woman and had an adulterous relationship with her. She was a married woman. And when he found out that she was expecting a child, David called for a husband to come home because he was hoping to cover his sin. He was hoping that Uriah would go home and spend the night with his wife. So when it came out that she was expecting child, they would just think that he and his wife just had a marriage relationship there and so on, and that everything was fine. However, Uriah refused to go home. And David, after this took place, he wrote Uriah's own death warrant, if you will, gave it to Uriah, and Uriah took it back, and I believe it was Joab who David told. He said, I want you to put him in the front of the battle, in the front of the hottest battle there is, and then whenever it gets on there, I want you to withdraw from him and make sure make sure that he's put to death. In other words, don't you kill him. You make sure the enemy kills him, but you retreat from him and make sure he dies. Now get this. David's sin started with killing time, but it ended with killing Uriah. The fact, what I'm trying to get across here, is that this sin of David's advanced, and so will yours. If you allow your body to be accessed with this filth, it doesn't stop with access. It will advance until you're doing things and thinking things, maybe going places and talking to people that you know you should never be going to, talking to, spending time with. What I'm saying is it may start with a click, then before you know it, it goes to chat rooms, and before you know it, you've thrown your life away. I'm telling you today that the fourth thing we've noticed about this stronghold of pornography is its advancement. It will advance and advance and advance. Be careful. Then there's a fifth thing I want to give you today, and that is its aftermath. Now, while studying on this topic, I read this book entitled Pay-Per-View again here, and each one here, this title really says what I'm trying to bring out under this particular point. When I'm talking about its aftermath, now I want you to notice this title. It's called Pay-Per-View. And what this simply means is if you view it, you're going to pay for it. And that's what this point is about. The point is that sin has a cost. It doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come free. If you view it, you're going to pay for it. And you know, I believe one of the greatest passages to illustrate this would be the secret sin of Achan. I've already mentioned this previously under its access. This is found in Joshua chapter 7, in which he said that it all started with a look. Then he coveted this, and then he took it and he tried to hide it. But when all was said and done, he was found out. God exposed his sin. And when that took place, he's giving his testimony. And the Bible says that after this, that they led him out. But the interesting thing is that the Bible says they also led his children out with him. And what they did is they stoned them and killed them. Now here's the point. We know by Mosaic law that the children were not to be put to death for the sins of the father and vice versa. But the fact of the matter is this. This tells us that these children knew about it. But what I'm trying to get across is that they'd have had nothing to conceal if the daddy hadn't brought it home in the first place. And understand that Achan thought that this one forbidden thing that looked good to him, he thought that it would bring satisfaction. And yet he had to hide it the whole time. He couldn't enjoy it in open. It was a secret sin. And when all was said and done, it killed him and it killed his children. James 1, 13 through 15. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, not when it's first started, Not in the middle, but when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. If you indulge in this sin and stronghold of pornography, you will pay for it. Among the worst of these effects would be a destruction of your relationships with your mate and with your family. There's no woman anywhere in the world who can compete with a man who looks elsewhere for sensual satisfaction. I wonder, dear sir, is your personal feeling or your precious family more important? Is your personal feeling or your precious family more important? One person said in Revive magazine, it said, and I quote, "Sexual sin at any level is a complex web of God-given desires, misplaced affections, empty promises, secrecy, and guilt." Unchained magazine stated, and again I quote, "Pornography warps a person's perspective on sexuality, pollutes the mind, sears the conscience, hardens the heart, and fills the inner life with perversion." They go on to say that pornography promises enormous satisfaction, but leaves its user in utter misery. This sin, like all others, promises pleasure, but it only delivers pain. This sin will promise satisfaction, but only deliver emptiness. The reason being is because Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Folks, listen to me, your flesh is never going to be completely satisfied. And what I'm saying to you about that is that if you think looking at that is going to give you satisfaction, just hang on a while, it's going to be emptiness in the end, because you will never be satisfied completely in your eyes. The sixth thing that I want to give to you here is really, when we think about this split session, it's really the most important. Really, up to this point, my goal is just to expose this stronghold for what it really is. Its access is through the eye gate. Its announcement is that we've dethroned God. We think more of ourselves, and pretty much we have put ourselves on our own heart's throne. It's addiction. If you look at it, it can become an addiction in your life. It's advancement. It will not stop with a look. It will advance, and it'll take you down. That's its aftermath. It will destroy you. It'll destroy your mind. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy those that you love the most if you don't get help. The last thing is this, and that's its answer. You know, again, up to this point, all I've tried to do is to expose the dangers of the stronghold of pornography. If we stopped here, it would be a spiritual injustice without giving how to get something like this right and out of your life. In other words, what we've done is exposed this is wrong. Now, under this point, its answer, I'm going to show you some things about how you can live in victory over this. I want to give you a 5-point outline to put into practice in order to keep this issue from becoming a stronghold in your life, or to break its bonds if it already is a stronghold. Let me give you these 5 things. Number one, recognize. Number one, recognize. There is no help for an individual who does not recognize that he needs it. Now, this being the case, every man needs to recognize something. And that is, we are weak and we are not able in our own strength to withstand this temptation of our flesh. The thought here is, one will never seek help unless one recognizes their need. An individual who's having a problem with pornography needs to recognize his problem and admit that he needs deliverance. Psalm 51:3-4. It's interesting that this is the psalm that David penned after his sin with Bathsheba. Notice his language. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions." I recognize, I acknowledge them. "And my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Psalm 32:5. "I acknowledge my sin unto thee." Recognize that you need help. Number two, repent. Recognize. Number two, repent. Once a person recognizes his problem with the sin of pornography, the next step is not to make excuses, but to come completely clean with the Lord God of heaven. In other words, get honest with the Lord and repent of your sin by agreeing with God in this thing. Don't make excuses. Come clean and get honest with God and say, God, this is sin. Would you forgive me? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Number one, recognize. Number two, repent. Number three, rely. Rely. Once a person recognizes his sin and he repents of it to the Lord, he then must learn to rely upon the power and the strength of the Lord to help him with his problem. In other words, a person can recognize and repent, but without relying upon the strength of God, he or she will never truly get victory. That's why a man can say, I'm done with it, I'm through with it, that's it, it's over. And yet a month down the road, they catch themselves doing it again. The fact of the matter is that we need to understand that we've got to have God's strength in this. This is not something to be defeated in the flesh. It's something to be defeated by the power of God. John 15:5. I am the vine, Jesus said. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is the thought that comes shining through in the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you want to read that later, you can. 1 Samuel 17 is the story where Goliath is the champion of the Philistine army. He comes out morning and evening. He's defying God, defying the armies of God. He stands almost 10 feet tall. He is big. By the way, it's a picture of our sin. We all have giants. Pornography could be your Goliath today. It could be your sin that comes out morning and evening, defying God, defying everything about it. And yet David overheard this giant. And he stepped down in that valley, and the giant looked at him and laughed at him and mocked him and scoffed him and said, am I a dog that you'd send such a runt? I'm paraphrasing some of this, but such a runt to the mighty giant Goliath. He said, come to me, boy, and I'll feed you to the birds and the beast. When Goliath made that statement, David looked at him and said, no, you're not. He said, what you said you're going to do to me, I'm going to do to you. And yet, I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to do it with all those Philistine army back there behind you. Now, when that took place, it's interesting that David made a statement. He said, the reason I'm going to do that, 1 Samuel chapter 17, is the battle is the Lord's. See, we see that David was confident. We see that he had confronted his giant. But he did not confront him in his own strength. He confronted him with his reliance upon God. He was relying upon the Lord. And because of that, he had great confidence. Now, when he said that to the mighty giant Goliath, Goliath charged him. Get it? It went from words to war. Major thought here. If you confront your giant of pornography, the battle is going to get worse before it ever gets better. But you keep your dependence upon God. And David slung that stone and God sunk it into his head. And David had a great victory that day, not because of David's flesh, but because of David's faith. He believed in God. And if you're ever going to have victory over this sin or any other sin, you must rely upon the power of God. You've heard the song, I need thee every hour. This is exactly what I'm trying to say here. Number one, we're looking at the answer to this. Number one, recognize. Number two, repent. Number three, rely. Number four, remove. Remove. You know, when an individual is struggling with pornography or is simply trying to stay right with God in this area, he or she will need to take time to remove some things. In other words, if you want victory, you must remove the tools that the devil is using to cause your mind to wander. For instance, if you struggle with the internet, you should remove that tool by either getting completely rid of the computer or putting it out in an open public place, include a filter system, I'll give you some of these later, or have it monitored by someone else as to where you go and what you view. Another example of removing would be to monitor your television and movie watching. In other words, if there's certain types of movies that you watch that trigger the access, if there's certain kind of sitcoms or shows that you watch, if you're going to have victory in this, you've got to remove some of those things. Stay away from those things. Don't let those things become a stronghold. For instance, and I trust this isn't the case here, but just to explain to you what I'm trying to get across here, let's say that somebody was struggling with alcohol, and yet they have some friends that go to the bar at night, and they say, well, I'm going to go to the bar with them, and I'm going to sit there and pray God keeps me strong. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. If you want victory over alcohol, you got to stay away from it. Don't allow anything where you can access it. It's the same way with pornography. You've got to remove yourself from people, places, and things that put you into the place of temptation and potential addiction. Proverbs 4:25-27. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Number one, recognize. Number two, repent. Number three, rely. Number four, remove. Number five, replace. And let me say that you, right here, let me say to you that remove obstacles. Now listen to me. Removing obstacles is not enough. In other words, if you remove the computer, if you remove those movies, if you remove those sitcoms, if you remove those friends, remove those places, they must be replaced. You not only remove, but you replace. In other words, when the bad things are taken out, the good must be put in. There's an illustration of this in Matthew 12:43-45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he's come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. In other words, this unclean spirit was taken out. He left, and the person cleaned, swept, and garnished their home, but never put anything in its place. And because of that, it came back and brought more unclean spirits, and the last state of that man was worse than the first. I want to give you some things that you can replace the bad with. Now, in this series on smashing Satan's strongholds, the battle for the mind teaches us about how to use the Word of God as a sword. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. The battle for the mind, it's a two-part sermon, Sunday morning, Sunday night. The Sunday night session is the session that teaches us about the Word of God, how to use it as a sword. But right here, all I'm going to do is just allude to it here. The first thing that you can replace the bad with is the Word of God. Replace the bad with the Word of God. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now understand that you need to have a steady diet of God's precious word in order to live in victory over pornography or anything else. This is a good time to mention the biblical principle again of using the Word of God as a sword that we learned about earlier in this series that I've just spoken to you about on the battle for the mind. In other words, when you're tempted to look, when you're confronted with that, and you realize it's not right, let me give you some scriptures to use that deal with this particular stronghold that at that time you can quote, you can share these. I'm talking about quoting them out loud and ask God to keep you strong. Let me give you some of these. I'm going to be flipping here a little bit, so just bear with me. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 37, here's what the Word of God says. It says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." What a verse to quote whenever you're under this bondage, under this attack. The Bible teaches us over in the book of 1 Corinthians, and just bear with me here because I've got several places to turn to. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, the Word of God says this, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 27 says this, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." In other words, he's saying this, my body doesn't tell me what to do. I tell my body what to do. I'm just giving you some verses that deal with the eye gate, with being tempted and to lust and look at things you shouldn't look at as a sword. How do you use it? Psalm 119, 37, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, 1 Corinthians 9, 27. The Word of God teaches over in the book of Romans chapter 6 and beginning with verse number 12, the Bible says this, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, but yield yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Romans chapter 6, verse number 19. "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Bible says in Romans 13, 14, it says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." The Bible says back in the book of Job, chapter 31, verse number 1, there was a man, by the way, who called this dialing 311 instead of dialing 911, call 311, talking about Job 31:1, where the Bible says this, "I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" The Bible says over in the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Word of God says this. It says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5 and verse number 27 and 28. By the way, this right here will apply to somebody that says, "Well, I've not committed the act. All I'm doing is looking. What's the harm?" Well, Matthew 5, 27, 28 gives us that harm. Jesus said this, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." It does matter what you look at. God says if you look at it and you look at her, you're committing adultery by lusting after her in your heart. The Bible says back in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6 and verse number 24 and 25, it says, "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." That scripture goes on to say in verse number 27, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" That's Proverbs 6, 24 to 27. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6. I know I'm reading a lot of scripture here, but these are some scriptures that you can use to combat these wicked thoughts whenever they're in your mind. How you quote scripture and use it as a sword to combat those ungodly thoughts to help keep your mind clean. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Ephesians chapter 4 verse number 22 says this. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The Bible teaches over in the book of Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, we'll go all the way down through verse 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous unto good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. One other passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16 says this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. This is verse 13. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, verse 16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Someone said this, a man that's well fed on the word of God is stronger in fight, and that's so true. The second thing that you can replace the bad with is not only the word of God, but you can replace, secondly, with an accountability partner. You know, one of the greatest things you can do is to replace the ungodly tools with a person who can keep you accountable. This person can be your mate, or it can be a person of the same sex who will constantly point you toward the Lord and his will for your life. Receive magazine said this, and I quote, "Find a godly older man and get honest. Withhold nothing. Confide in a man who can give you biblical counsel to walk through the process of confession, clearing your conscience, accountability, and developing new patterns of behavior. Turn the light on and the darkness cannot remain." See, an accountability partner should have access to your internet viewing. This could be set up with your own mate by allowing her to set the password without your knowledge of it, in order that you cannot log in without her assistance and her help. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, we've come to the conclusion of this, and I just want to make some general statements here. It has been said, and I quote, "I am convinced that if Christian men would not put another cent into the porn industry, we could cripple it." Now, think about that statement. Pornography is no laughing matter. It is a sin that's to be taken very seriously. Now, I want to give some advice. Get on your face and beg God either to deliver you now or keep you from getting involved. If you're not involved, praise God for it, but get on your face and beg God to keep you from it. If you are involved, don't fall into hopelessness like, there's no hope for this. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. His name is God. Get on your face and beg him for his help. And put these principles into place. And let me conclude by saying this. If I'm speaking to a man who's having some issues, who's having some problems, having some trouble, one of the things the devil will try to get you to do is be ashamed of it. And you ought to be ashamed of it. There's no doubt about ashamed of your sin. But what I mean ashamed of it, I'm talking about ashamed to go and seek help. And let me simply say this to you. We're here for you. And if we can help you with this particular stronghold, we'll do everything in our being to be able to help you with it and through it. I don't want to see the devil get your family. I don't want to see the devil get your children. I don't want to see the devil get you. And there's no doubt that he's getting many men through the stronghold of pornography. Now I wonder today, are you in the family of God? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Is He your Lord? Have you ever asked Him to come in and by faith repent of your sin, saying, Lord, I don't want my sin. And you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by inviting Him to come in and forgive your sin. If that's never happened to you, there's no victory for you. And if that's never happened, I encourage you today, right now, bow your head, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, forgive your sin. And the best way you know how, repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ. Secondly, I wonder, are you living in victory in this area of your life? If you're not, put these principles in practice. God will give you victory. Now, before I close in prayer, what I want to do is I want to give you some recommended resources. And these recommended resources are to help you if you want help. First of all, the resource of the Word of God. You already know that. That's a given. Don't bypass the Word of God and put these other things in practice. That's not the way it works. But I want to give you some recommended filters, some recommended sermons, and a recommended book. And I trust that you'll take this to heart. Recommended filters. Our church here, we use the filter called cleaninternet.com. CLEANINTERNET.com. There's a couple more filters that I'm not as up to date on as far as understanding how it works. Clean internet, I just know that that's a good one because it keeps filth off of our systems here. But another one is internetsafety.com. 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 This is all together, no spaces. The other one is covenanteyes.com. covenanteyes.com. All together, covenanteyes.com. Those are some recommended filters that you can check into to try to help you with your internet. Secondly, are some recommended sermons. I'm going to give you three of them. Actually, two of them, and then I'm going to give you two books here. The first sermon is called The Dark Side of the Internet. The Dark Side of the Internet. And this is by Rand Hummel, RANDHUMMELL, from the Wilds. And that, you can find this on the Wilds website. Just go to the Wilds, WILDS.org. Another sermon is Look at Her Feet. The title, Look at Her Feet, by Dr. Clarence Sexton. And you can get that by contacting Crown College. You can get their information over the internet. Just type in Crown College of the Bible or Temple Baptist Church of Powell, Tennessee, and you can contact them and get that sermon. A couple of recommended books. One of them is this one, Pay-Per-View. I hold it in my hands. This is by Dr. Jeff Amsball. It's called Pay-Per-View, The Double Cost of Pornography. And another book is by Rand Hummel of the Wilds, and it's entitled Lest You Fall. Lest, L-E-S-T-U-Y-O-U, Fall, F-A-L-L. These are just some recommended resources to get you on your way, and I trust that these resources will be a blessing to you. Again, this is the Stronghold series, and I trust that this brief, it's actually not been brief, has it? It's been a little bit longer than brief, but I trust that this lesson here will help you who are listening right now with the stronghold of pornography. Let's get busy. Ask God to give us victory. Use the Word of God as a sword. God can give us victory in our minds. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You. Help us with this. I pray that You'll touch and bless and use it in a mighty, mighty way. Thank You for Your goodness. Give the men victory in the access gate of the eyes. May Thy will be done. Help us, I pray, and give victory to those who are struggling. Keep those who are not struggling away from it, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.